Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your life connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Thank you for joining Truth About Prosperity. Today we have Dave Kerchovic, and later we'll have Pat Kerchovic joining me. My name is Penny Golden. I'm the founder and owner of Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and Body, Mind, Spirit Guide magazine. You can listen to archives of this show and all of the other great shows that we offer on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio at bodymindspiritradio.com. We are just getting into the studio, and we have had a couple of technical difficulties, which does happen in the digital world. So if you'll just bear with us, we'll be able to start the show. We've got some exciting things coming up, and we invite you to also give us a call and be a guest on the show. You can call in with your own tips and ideals about prosperity or with questions you might have for myself, for Dave and Pat, or comments about some of our past shows or the things that we'll be talking about today. This show is an hour long. We have a lot of fun bringing it to you because there are so many misconceptions about prosperity. And one of the biggest ones is that people, when they say prosperity, are often only thinking about financial. They're only thinking about the money aspect. And that's an important part of prosperity, but it's just a fraction of it, because prosperity comes in our relationships, when we have relationships that are abundant and that are filled with love and joy, with respect for each other, with comfort and care, then that's prosperity too. And we can spread that prosperity and that love into our business, where we have connections that make us feel whole and allow us to be of service to other people in a way that is more than just money. It's more than just business. It puts the heart in it, and it gives us hope and faith and a reason to pop up out of bed and go and be of service. That, too, is prosperity. So prosperity comes in a lot of different ways. And we talk about all those things here, but we'd love to hear your comments, too. I think we have Dave in studio, so let me say hi to him. Hello, Dave, are you with us?
I am here, yes.
Thank you. My entire digital system just went down right before the show.
Oh, my goodness.
I was so nervous. It was like, oh, my gosh. And then I remembered, it's okay, Dave's going to be there.
I am here.
And I got back in time, just in time.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah,
I love what you said about prosperity, Penny. I was listening in before you connected me. And, you know, I just don't think humanity understands the profoundness of what you said. In that, you know, even though most people think of prosperity, like you said, is money, putting the other first in terms of the other being the good, the holy, the beautiful, the love, putting that first brings the other. And that sounds so trite, but until you experience in your life, it's just really words. But I guess we're going to talk words to see if we can help people move to having that kind of an experience. So I just think, you know, if you could absolutely feel into what Penny said and just breathe into that and see if there's some part of your being, some part of your cells, maybe it's just one in a trillion that hears the call of that and knows the truth of that and hold on to that, then you can bring more of that. And when you bring more of that, you're going to have more prosperity in your life. This I know.
Yeah.
I've lived this. I've experienced this. I've helped others do that, seen others.
Is that you have to find that in order to have it. You have to already find it within you. So what you're saying is really important, is to find that in some way. Because once you connect to that feeling of service and prosperity in that way, then prosperity just grows in other areas, because it always grows from the inside out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, what's kind of neat about that, I mean, is that I think we're going to offer people that kind of an experience in 2015, where we're going to do a show of connecting to the source within, the source that provides all, and see what kind of magic happens.
Yes,
the 40-day program that we're going to do.
I don't think are done on radio. I'm excited for that to be presented. It's going to be amazing.
Yes.
So,
you know, it's interesting.
I do want to say one thing. You know that I just love Edgar Cayce's work, because his work for me shows the full potential of what each and every one of us have available within us if we'll just sort of look within ourselves. And he said that Jesus Christ had a secret prayer that he never spoke of to anyone. And that secret prayer was this: others, Lord, others. And he repeated it like a mantra in his mind over and over, that he was here for others. He was here to serve others. So it was others, Lord, others. It was his reminder. Isn't that cool?
That is profound. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. And,
yeah.
And I mean, you know, the deeper esoteric aspect of that, of course, is that at the energy level, we're all the same. We're all one. So as you serve others, you're serving yourself. Therefore, you're helping not only the other person that you see in this third dimensional form, but you're ultimately helping yourself. And because the universe understands that, because Source sees that love is being made manifest on Earth, that's what Source supports. So
yeah.
You're going to find your way made easier because that is what your desire is. So what we're saying is, if that desire comes from within, to others, Lord, for others, Lord, how do you say it?
Others, Lord, others.
Yes, others,
that's
Lord. That's what I thought.
Three words: others, Lord, others.
Others, Lord, others. If you do that, because love is everything, then love supports that. And you will get the resources necessary to do that. And flowing through you will come all of that divine energy, that divine support, and you will find yourself being different just because you chose to help someone else. And how many of us have done that? How many of us have done a random act of kindness, or just for some reason we were in the grocery store and, you know, rather than just running through the checkout, we said thank you eye to eye to the clerk that was there, or a store clerk, especially at this time of year. Everyone is so rushed and haggard and stressed, and everyone wants to, you know, move on quickly and not wait in lines. How many of you have been present and done that? And I'm not saying right now, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And you know
and
the feeling of that.
Absolutely. And I think, too, we're not talking about, well, I'll speak for myself. I am not talking about the times that we do for others and we have an expectation of, you know, I'm going to be really nice and then I expect them to offer me dessert or to offer to do this or take my trash out or, you know, whatever it might be. It's a, you know, it's a feeling when you're doing it within yourself to be of service and you haven't decided what that other person's reaction or response will be. You're doing it out of the kindness of your heart for your own reason to be of service. Because we can often get caught up where we're running around doing lots of things for lots of people and we expect them to act in certain ways and we get disappointed. We get wounded. Our heart gets wounded. So there's a different level, I think, to giving.
Absolutely. It's
yes,
a very good
that,
distinction
right?
that you made, Penny. The way you know, I like to look at it as what Penny said is that one is coming from the mind. Oh, if I do this, then maybe I'll get that. Or maybe I, at this time of year, geez, I need to give so-and-so a gift because they always give me a gift.
Right.
You know, those kinds of things. So the question is, where does the desire to make this act of kindness come from? Is it in the mind with the expectation of getting something, or does it just rise out of nothingness? In other words, rise out of the substance of the heart and who you are. And where does it, you know, that's the difference. Where does it come from? Which one do you think the universe will support more?
Right. Now, that's a great way to put it. I've never really thought about it that way, through the mind and the heart.
Yeah.
You know,
Pardon me?
It's so obvious, and it's so true what you said. I just never sort of, put it that clearly in my own mind and in my own heart. But you're right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, and people say, there's karma. Karma's cause and effect. So if I put a cause in action that I could do something good for someone else, there's good karma created, even if my mind knows that and even if I did it because. But there's also good karma created if I generate it from love, from the other aspect that we're talking about. So the question is it the same amount of karma, or is it more karma in one and less in the other? Now, I can't tell you for sure, but, at the deepest level of my being, I think what we're saying is that you amp up the amount of karma generated by the same act. If you perform the same act in this third-dimensional world, this physical world we live in, and one comes from the mind and one comes from the heart, guess which one I believe you're going to have way more karma, exponentially more,
because
the universe is going to support that one. So it'll come back, what they say in the Bible, 10 times 10.
Yeah.
It'll come back to you. Where's
the
others probably?
Karma, some people are familiar with karma as being the total acts of everything they've done in past lives and this time, right, as their karma, sort of like a bank account, right?
Yeah, it's the effect of all the things that you created. Yeah, exactly. And it could be the past lives, or
more,
you may
though.
Have worked some of it off, or get this, you don't have to work it off. You can actually transcend it and transform
karma,
it.
Karma also is ultimately, karma is memory.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, how we keep track of all of those deeds is our soul remembers what we have done and what we have not, where we have failed to live up to our highest ideal or to assist the greater good. And through that memory process, life is dealt out to us. And so it's like as we do our deeds, we create a new memory. And the new memory is that our needs can be met, and that our needs can be met in unexpected and fantastic and wonderful ways. So karma is what everyone says it is, but it's also intimately connected with memory. And so building good karma is really smart, because it's a great way to prosperity.
Absolutely is. We could talk a whole show about that.
Yeah, that could have been off track. I'll let you take over, Dave. You and Pat had a great show last time without me. It was fantastic. I listened back to it. It was just incredible. I loved it. So thank you, and thank Pat too, for the well thought out information that was given. People can listen to that show if you want to go to bodymindspiritradio.com, and in archives under Truth About Prosperity, you'll find the show. You'll find all our shows if you'd like to listen back. And you guys did a fantastic show. Thank you.
Oh, thanks, Penny. Thanks.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's certainly been a lot of fun exploring this topic. And, I think, because your background's different than ours, and, Pat's is different from mine, that and we all have different experiences, that we're able to bring a, quite a diverse source of information to the subject matter, which, everyone is at a different point in their life, and they can choose to, believe it or not, or resonate with it or not. But, this is a playground, so you get to play with it and try it and see how it works for yourself.
Yeah.
And
Pat is the perfect person to work with. I mean, she has she's like a quiet genius. She has this reservoir of massive amounts of information through just that desire to be such a great healer that she is. So, it's fun to connect with her that way. I heard you calling on her for things, and she's just right there in the moment with it. So
Yeah. In fact, really, you know, it's really interesting that you decided to talk about Pat, and she's not on the phone yet. So,
I know.
You know, on the way here, for me to grab the phone just in time for the show, I was thinking about the same thing. Because, you know, in that show that Penny mentioned, we talked about a couple things that whenever you start to put your mind on bringing something new into your life, an awareness comes about, and you begin to see more of whatever that is, or more of whatever it is that you don't want. And once you do that, then the universe begins to throw roadblocks in your way, I believe to help test you, but also not just to test you, but basically saying that you said you wanted this. Now here's what's in your way. So clear it, and then you can have a clear path. Otherwise, if you don't clear it, it's kind of hard to, you know, go around the roadblock through the thick brush or try and go over the roadblock. Just clear the roadblock. So the universe does that for you when you set your intention. And then where does that roadblock come from? It comes from thought, from limiting thought that we have about ourselves or other beliefs that were implanted into our belief system many years ago, likely when we were young children, impressionable, parents who were strong, powerful, figureheads, society, school, whatever it is, wherever they came from. Now, what's all that got to do with Pat? I know someone's asked the question. What it has to do with Pat, as Penny was beginning to say, is she is very good at working with folks to unravel those thoughts to help you easily and gracefully eliminate the roadblock so that your awareness on prosperity increases with ease and grace. Come from a place of source so that you connect to that place within and let that come forward and manifest in your life. She is a wizard at it.
Yeah, she is amazing like that. You know, and she listens with love, and I think that's the greater portion of it. And then just her vast experience and desire to be present for you. So, yeah, she's just totally amazing like that. You just lucked out, Dave. Yeah. And she did, too.
I did.
You're both great that way. So you guys had talked about the ego in the last show. And I think sometimes people get tripped up by the ego. So I wanted to make a note on that. Is now a good time to do that?
Now's a great time to do that.
Okay. So with the ego, a lot of people don't want to have an ego, and they don't, and they'll say things like that. And what I try to encourage people to realize is the ego is the I. It's the I want ice cream. That's you. That's the ego. Ego wanting ice cream. So the ego, when it is imbalanced, is okay. There's no problem. But when it is deficient, then you are feeling very, very small. And sometimes we rear our heads up to look bigger or stronger, and we, you know, scream and holler because we feel really weak. And then sometimes your ego can get out of balance where you're feeling like so big that your head won't fit through the door, and then you have to come back to that centered space. But there's no really eliminating the ego. The ego is I. It's the you. It's the individual. It just has to be balanced to where it's not deficient or, you know, magnified.
Or
so that's how I usually explain ego, so that people can stop trying to deny it or eliminate it. You know, because when we die, we're going to know ourselves to be ourselves. You know, we don't die and just we're not ourselves anymore. We're always ourselves. We just have to be in balance. Hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, I think, balance is perfect because you would not be in the human condition if you didn't have an ego. The question is, who's in charge? And David Hawkins, who wrote the landmark book, Power Versus Force, puts it in the context of, like, if you're looking to lose weight and, you know, you go up to the refrigerator and, you know, you have this hunger pain. What he says is it's the child that is the one that has you eat. you know, when you're not really hungry or pretending that it's, you know, satisfying the craving. The child wants what it wants, and it gets what it wants, or it whines
right.
until it does. And then afterwards, it's the parent that comes in and tells the child, you were all wrong to do that. You ate that snack, you shouldn't have done that, and you begin to feel guilty. But it's really the adult that we want who can balance the both about what is right, what is good for the body, you know, what are the cravings, do I just indulge everything that's there? So in his model, I think what Penny's, you know, in relating it back to what Penny said, the ego therefore becomes the child. The one that can run rampant, and it needs a balancing force. Everyone knows that a child needs some kind of balancing force.
Sure.
Just let the child do what it wants, well,
that would not
you know where that goes.
And I think that draws out to the drama triangle, where we have, right, that's that sacred trinity and how that works. So, you know, we have the adult and we have the child. Is that making sense to you?
I don't remember that. You said the Trinity. So maybe you could refresh everyone on that.
So the drama triangle is just every human interaction that has ever happened or ever will happen, all happens within the drama triangle. So if anybody wanted to just Google drama triangle, then they would see that the drama triangle kind of explains all human interaction. And so it's used in psychology, but it's also fundamental. It is based within the universal laws. And so we kind of need to sit in the middle of the drama triangle. There are times when we should be like the child, that we shouldn't act like an adult. You know, even in the Bible, it says from the mouths of babes and to be as a small child to enter into the gates of heaven. There are moments of innocence that should not be overshadowed by the adult. You should be worried about turning left and insurance and, you know, whatever adult situations would be. So there are times when we should be comfortable in all of those roles, but there should be a perfect balance where we can sit in the middle of the triangle and then be able to partake of all of the strengths of the child and the adult and so forth. So it's difficult to explain, I guess, on a radio show, but if anybody wants to look that up and then if they have any questions about that, then, you know, you can feel free to connect with me. You can reach me at pennygolden@comcast.net. That's my personal email. And I don't do any therapies or anything around that. I just have used it in my life to make improvements and to have understanding, and I've taught it to many people so that they could do the same. So that's the drama triangle.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it. You know, it's interesting because these triangles are showing up in the ascension breathing that Pat and I are going to be rolling out in 2015, a lot of our deeper work revolves around triangles. And the,
sure.
Well, obviously, you know, it's rooted in the basis of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Exactly.
And I don't want to get off track, but that is such a powerful concept that, again, I don't think the human mind could necessarily understand how absolutely profound that is and how it relates to everything, including the creation of whatever it is in our life, including prosperity, interestingly enough. But we use it a lot in our breath work is what I'm saying. So I'm definitely going to check this out. It's
yeah,
no coincidence
and
here.
Yeah, and it's fantastic because with Christianity, there's a lot of information about that sacred Trinity. But, of course, before Christ came and was born in, you know, to the earth plane, that Trinity already existed because that Trinity is the basis for all physical manifestation. So, such as yourself, you and Pat as healers, you would travel on a path of healing till you reach that very foundation of which the entire universe is built. And there is where you find that triangle. So that makes perfect sense to me that you guys would be using that. Of course you would. And it's nice to be able to look at the triangle all the way from a psychological point of view all the way back to manifestation. And, you know, what is prosperity if it's not manifesting? It really, I guess, it works either way.
Mm-hmm.
It works into what we're doing here as well. So,
yeah, sounds great. I'm really kind of excited about it. But anyway,
cool.
Back to the ego. So, you know, I think the ego very much relates to what we were talking about earlier when we were talking about, you know, when we act and, you know, the discussion with respect to karma and random acts of kindness is, you know, the ego would tend to be the one that's in the mind that would say, oh, if I do this, then I can get that. Versus a person that has not allowed the ego to control would therefore come from the heart and would decide differently.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the you know, it relates very much back to our earlier discussion about that. And what are the processes? How do we, you know, the question is then, how do we supplant the ego and not allow it to rule? That, I mean, that's really the question. How do we do that? And, you know, I guess I'll ask the audience a question. How many people, we're coming up in the new year, how many people have set New Year's intentions, had the best of intentions, or at some other time done a diet, exercise program, whatever it is, said I'm not going to yell at my spouse or my kids or whatever it is. And then they were really good at it for a day or 2 days or a week, and they found themselves slip, and 2 weeks go away by, and 3 weeks, and next thing you know, by 4 weeks, whatever their intention was, sort of like it's floating off in the wind somewhere, and whatever it is that they were trying to decide to do was met with a lot of resistance, and we seemed to get stuck. We were in a rut. We tried, but we couldn't do it. Well, we'll try again next year. Next year comes along, same results. By golly, what is it about this thing? Why is it so hard? I thought I was a disciplined person. I mean, health clubs around the world will tell you, you know, their membership goes up in January. I never like to go to a health club in January because everyone's there. But by March, it's to the normal, you know, half the number of people are going.
Yes.
What is it about that? Why is it that, you know, our best of intentions are laid to the wayside and we can't seem to overcome them? How come?
So you're asking
the
audience that.
Yeah.
Is that what you said, or are we answering that?
I don't know. We can do both. What do you think? Anyone have any thoughts about that?
We can do both for sure. It's, you know, it's a big question. For sure, and I think everybody, I'm going to just go out on a limb and say everybody has experienced that, for sure. I can speak for myself on it, which is I had to learn things about setting those big goals. You know, it's like, you know, if I just had a goal to get up and go in the other room, it's not that complicated. There's only one door to the other room. There's only, you know, 7 steps. It's real simple. I can make it happen. But when we set a goal that is going to go through all of the drama, we talked about drama triangles, so look that up, or listen to all the last shows where Dave has been telling you all along that as soon as you set something out there, roadblocks get in the way. If you make that, you know, I think people are biting off more than they can chew. You know, if they set smaller goals, and actually get the goal, then they build faith and confidence in themselves. The next time they can get a little bigger goal. But I think people do pick huge goals, you know? I think that's why people fail. What do you think, Dave?
So you're saying that they pick things that are unrealistic to achieve, is that right?
Yeah, I'm saying, you know, like sitting down for a meal, you can't eat the whole elephant, you know.
Right.
How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. But you can't do that in one meal. That's too much to consume and to digest and to, you just won't make it.
I would absolutely agree with you that it is much better to get a hold of or grab something that you have a much higher probability of success, because, and we've heard it, I mean, all their motivational speakers will tell you that success breeds success. I mean, it does, because why? It feels good, and then you build confidence, and then confidence builds more discipline, and then you know you can do something else, and the smaller steps lead to bigger steps. So absolutely,
yeah. So
Penny.
So it's bit by bit. It's like you don't become a millionaire until you become a 100-aire and a 1,000-aire, you know, until you can maintain and put in savings and set aside those larger amounts. They can't add up to that bigger goal. And the same is true of physical things, you know. So the first goals that I did when I realized this pattern was the first time I made it through the whole year, it was I had decided not to buy disposable lighters because, I mean, we're talking 20 years ago. I used to buy them all the time. And so I just decided to have one. And I made it through the year, and I just had to be happy with that. Because in all my life, I had never done that. And as I asked other people around me, none of them were making their goals either. And so the next year, mine was disposable pens, which I love pens. I would have hundreds of pens around me, you know, because you can buy purple and green and pink and, you know, it's a girl thing maybe, I don't know. But anyway, the second year was disposable pens. And I made it through that year. And those were the confidence-building steps that allowed me to take on bigger goals. So, you know, this year, if you're in the same spot and you want to quit smoking, lose weight, you know, save money, buy a new house, and move to Africa, it's too much. You know, take the one thing that you have done that you can be proud of and increase that, you know, say, okay, that was that, and I can count on myself. I actually accomplished that one. I'm going to up my game just a little bit, just like an athlete would. You know, they don't go from, you know, walking to climbing the mountain. You know, they train. They build up to that. So I think we have to be realistic. That's what I say in goal setting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So once you set the goal, so what we're saying is once you set the goal, check in. Is it a realistic goal or is it something you're stretching yourself? You know, maybe you're 20 pounds overweight and say, I'm going to get down to my ideal weight and lose 20 pounds. Why not set the goal at 5 pounds? 5 pounds is a belt size, pretty much. At least it is for me.
Yeah, it's a comfort, yeah.
Yeah, you know, set it in a realistic expectation. And now, once you have and you checked in and you believe it's realistic, you believe that you know, you have a plan to do it, okay, you know, I'm going to change the way I eat, I'm going to exercise a little bit more, whatever it is, the things that you want to do, you have a little plan. Now this is when things are going to get a little tougher. No matter what, there's going to be roadblocks that come your way. You will become more aware of food, especially the food that you don't, that would not be appropriate on a diet.
Right.
All of a sudden you'll be more aware of nice ice cream and whatever it is that your craving is for. They will come to your awareness. So, you see, it works no matter what you're trying to do. Even if you set the goal smaller, it's going to be easier. But the awareness, you start to become aware of things, the cravings, the things that, and then you get roadblocks are thrown in your way. So how do you deal with those that come up? That's the question. How do you develop that discipline? Now, there's a body of thinking that's going to say, well, just, you know, overcome it. Develop some willpower. You know, you can just hear your parents saying, get some willpower. You know, sit down and study for an hour. You know, you just hear those voices. Well, not everyone has that. And so there's a pull that's going on within the body energetically. Well, I want this, but I don't want this. That's the ego. That's the child parent voice or the child adult voice going back and forth. So how do you lessen the voice of the child and increase the other voice? Or if we look at it energetically from a chakra standpoint, Remember, the chakras are energy transformers within the body. Well, there's two of them that concern the will. One is called the lower will, and one is the higher will. The lower will comes from the solar plexus. The higher will is the ajna chakra, which is between the foreheads. It's the higher will. So the question is, who's in control? The higher will is going to be the one that's more connected to the soul. The lower will is the one that's connected to the body and its cravings and what it thinks it wants to be in control of its life. So how do you diminish one and increase the other? If you want some extra help, that's the question. Would anyone
like
to know that? I mean, and there's lots and lots and lots of ways to do this. And if you listen to many of the programs on Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, many of the things that are suggested there, many of the different techniques, modalities, are all about that equation, really. Don't you think, Penny? They're about bringing balance. In other words, it's an out of balance in that my ego or my child is more in control, and bringing more balance to the other side so that my higher will or my higher sense or my soul or the love aspect of me is more driving the body. Wouldn't that be what many of the people on the Body, Mind, Spirit Radio would be talking about or in the magazine?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly what we're focused on. And I think that, you know, if you were right now, Dave, if you were to take the chakra system, which is seven chakras that run from the base of the spine to the crown on the head. If you were to divide them in half, there would be three on top, three on bottom, and one in the middle. The one in the middle is your heart. And that's
isn't
where
that
you
cool?
raise. But, hey, Dave, if you were to take the three on top and make it a triangle and take the three on bottom and make that a triangle, then, you know, you would instantly be able to use either the drama triangle or the triangles that you guys use in your healing to move into the upper chamber where the work can be done, where things can be set into place without that lower will pulling all your energy, time, and attention. So I don't know if
simply
that came through, but...
That sounds pretty profound. We'll have to have an off-the-line conversation about that one, Penny.
Right, then. And so we shall.
That sounds pretty cool. But, let's not let the audience get lost in that point that the heart is coincidentally, maybe, or maybe not, the center of this. It is the dividing force, or it is the... dividing line between the higher will, the ajnas, again, visualize this, is in the between the eyebrows. The heart is where the heart is, and the solar plexus is right there in, you know, right below the rib cage. So it is that space. It is the place that brings balance to all of it. And that aspect of love, especially of self-love, is essential here in manifesting anything. So it is one of the keys to allowing the higher will to make a higher decision for you rather than giving in to the craving and losing sight of your goal. In other words, can I love myself enough to do what I ultimately want to do? And the question oftentimes is, no, I can't. There's something that's in my way, and I don't know what it is. I don't know why I can't make a better choice. And that's where all those techniques come in to help. And, Reiki is very effective. All of the things on the Body, Mind, Spirit Radio and the Body, Mind, Spirit Guide are really helpful. Many of the energetic techniques that help to clear the lower energies and make way for the higher energies. And, of course, all of that, none of that actually moves without a change in the way you breathe, which is why I like the breath so much.
Yeah.
So if you choose Reiki or energy healing or pranic healing or whatever it is, or yoga can help bring that balance. the breath just helps make all of those modalities more powerful. If you work with the breath at this simultaneously, it's wonderful. It's easy.
It really is, and it's natural. So it naturally happens as a person becomes more awakened. If an athlete becomes stronger and more capable, then he is absolutely in more command of his breath. If there's an artist, say a singer that is on a stage, and she becomes more in command of her voice, she does all these things through the breath. So we can forego being a master of the arts and just go directly to the source, which is our breath, and then we can improve everything in our life the same way the top elite athletes do that, you know?
That's true. That's very true. And they do.
So, and I think, you know, for a person who is not in any of these programs that help you eliminate all the drama that comes with the lower chakras, the breath is probably one of the easiest ways to ascend into the higher chakras and be able to reach your goals and begin to master prosperity in your life in all these different ways through health and relationships, financially too. So, yeah, it's very valid. Another thing, too, I like this, is that, you know, I said the heart is where we weigh things. So if you're going to set goals, I think one of the things is that you have to weigh it out really, really well before you set the goal, which is here's what will happen in my life if I make it, if I make this goal, and here's what will happen if I don't. You know, if I don't, I'm going to feel like a failure, like I don't have strength and power over my life. I'm going to feel like a loser. I'm going to feel. So if you can weigh that really well, then that becomes, that replaces the willpower needed, because you literally have two pictures to look at. Here's the road that way where I don't feel great, and here's the other one. And that can overpower ice cream. As well. You know, that's that like a date with destiny, you know. You walk to the end of the road and see, you know, fast forward 10 years if you don't do this. Fast forward 20 years if you do not do this. And then you can see how important it is, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, you know, even if you do that, and like Penny said, and now you're saying you feel angst because you say, oh, my gosh, if I don't do that, I've got angst. And, you know, oh, there could be illness in my life. So you've got now a vision that says, oh, my gosh, yeah, you know, I need to do this because now if I feel into it, it feels really good because I don't have illness and I feel vital and, you know, my body moves and whatever it is. But there's still resistance. I mean, and there can be even more anxiety because now you've seen and you felt into the potential negative and you felt into the potential good. It's like now there's even more at stake. And like Penny said, that can overcome ice cream. Absolutely. But what about in those cases that you can't? What do you do? And you know, that's where the rubber really meets the road. And I think, you know, and I'm going to go back to the breath and other modalities, but I want to introduce a new concept to everyone, and that is that one of the things that's keeping you from that is a belief system. It's a thought that resides within your energy field that's saying, geez, you know, I can't move ahead, or I am not worth that picture of vitality that I see out there. And you may not even consciously be saying this, but subconsciously it's going on. Or, you know, and it may have come from whatever source in the past. It doesn't really matter. Too many people get hung up on what's the story, where'd the thought come from. Forget it. Just, you know, the thought is there. I bought into it sometime. I want something different in my life. I'm going to let it go so I can create something new. And it... Folks, it really is that easy, simple. I don't want to say easy because sometimes people get hung up in the story and the drama, but it really is that simple. I'm choosing to create something new. I own the fact that I created something that I don't want, and I'm going to create something new. I just have to let go of the old. The secret is in letting go of the old thoughts that I've formed around whatever it is that's in my life that I don't want. We're talking about prosperity. Therefore, it might be poverty consciousness. I'm not worthy of that. Where did that thought come from? Doesn't matter. Own the fact. There comes great owning what we've created in our life gives us tremendous power. So many people will say, I didn't create that. I didn't bring this bad relationship into my life. I didn't cause my husband to be irritable, you know, or angry. But at some level, we've all attracted the experience we have in our lives. Try owning that. Try coming to acceptance of that. And what you'll find is you get a tremendous sense of freedom. And from freedom comes power. And from power comes the ability to change. And you'll find that it's easier to make a different step, to take that new step forward in that case. And the Lord Jesus
can I
said...
add something here, Dave? It's important for people to take the word own, or that I created, and add to this, I allowed, I accepted. Because people do get stuck on this, Dave. They didn't want that in their life. They don't want it now, but it's there. And then, you know, if they can't face up that they created it. And
yeah. In
some ways they're right. They didn't create it, but they simply accepted it, or they simply allowed it.
Right.
And so it existed in their world, whether it was in their childhood or in a relationship or in their workplace, and they accepted it and they allowed it. They may not have created it. They can either take all three words, create, allow, and accept as one process, or understand that it can be any of the three of those.
It's a good clarification, Penny. Absolutely. And the key word is allowing. I like that.
And the important thing here is that there may be somebody listening that is being physically abused, or who may have a very difficult and very powerful person about them in their workplace that's creating drama. There's many different things that happen in the world that we are just allowing, or that we are accepting. And it doesn't mean that you created the situation where you're going to get yelled at work, or where you're going to get beaten. But if you're allowing and accepting that, there, if you can admit that to yourself, that you are allowing it, or that you are accepting it, then you can begin to make the changes to not allow it anymore and not accept it anymore. So I like to use all three of those together. Thanks. I'm sorry.
That's very good. No, I like it. It's very good. It's excellent clarification. And because it's a universe of attraction, there's an energy that's drawing similar energies to us. So whatever is in our life, that energy is resonating within our field. So how do I change that energy? And that's why all these new age metaphysical energy modalities are very effective and very powerful. And some of them aren't so new. They go back thousands of years, like acupuncture. And that's why they have such great results, because they're working at that energetically level. But, you know, we talked about the seven chakras earlier. The guy that brought the seven chakras system to the Western world was a guy by the name of Charles Ledbetter, who's a clairvoyant, lived at the turn of the 19th century, I believe. He also, through his clairvoyance, was able to see thought forms. So thought forms exist within our auric field, and every thought form has a different shape. So thought forms that addicted to alcohol look one way. Those of addictions of another, what's another addiction? Smoking would be another one. Pardon me?
Smoking.
Yeah, all those things. Thought forms of anger are a different way. Thought forms of fear are a different way. Anyway, you can see these different thought forms in the aura for those that are gifted to see clairvoyantly. So the more we think about it, the more we feed it from a feeling standpoint, the larger the thought form becomes, the harder it is to change. Now, this all occurs at the energy level. So this is what's happening behind the scenes that none of us can see, yet we feel the effect of it. So then you begin to say, well, how come I can't change? Well, because you got this huge thought form in your aura. All you need to do is reduce the size of the thought form. So some suggestions would be to quit feeding it from a feeling standpoint, which would be guilt or shame over your repeated behavior, or, geez, I said I was going to exercise every day on my new program and I didn't. So when you release that guilt, you're casting one less vote for the thought form.
Yeah, every negative emotion you have about it feeds it.
Exactly.
Every single one. It's almost like if you don't know that, it's a battle you cannot win.
Wow.
Feeling bad about it will feed it. Feeling guilty about it will feed it. Feeling ashamed of it will feed it.
I think it double feeds it.
And it will take root and grow. The only feelings that you can have toward these addictions or these things that are simply love and compassion. Those are the only emotions that you can have that you can actually release these thought forms from. Through love, you can say, you know, I have loved my life so far, and I choose this now. And you can just move on. You can just move past it. You can be compassionate for yourself and the other people that you either got this habit from or those that are experiencing it also, and then you can move on. But every other feeling you have of shame and guilt and belittlement, and even in a joking way, simply feeds it and makes it stronger. Wouldn't you agree, Dave?
Absolutely, Penny. Absolutely. And it's so natural for us to want to do that. And that's how we've been programmed. And we're just suggesting to put a new program in it, and it starts with love.
And I
that
first started for me when I read the book, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. I mean, that was the book that
changed
my life.
What a great title.
You know, great, right? I was 16 years old. What to Say When You Talk to Yourself? These are the things I'll tell you about the book. The book, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself, repetition is a convincing argument. And when we repeat something and in our mind, and then throughout the day we repeat it another 700 times as it comes to thought again and again and again, when we worry about it, when we're ashamed of it, we continue to build it and build it and build it. And the only way to stop that is through love, compassion, and then to build something else. So What to Say When You Talk to Yourself is the way. You have to monitor your thoughts, and, you know, they can't be of the negative thing, because if they are, you're still growing that.
Yes. Thoughts direct the thoughts. I don't want to say this. Thoughts point the energy in a direction that it goes. The feeling behind the thought is the power or the fuel behind the thought. So I might have a thought of shame, but it's just kind of neutral because I don't have a lot of feeling about it. But if I feel really shameful about it and I direct that shameful energy, then it's really powerful.
Yeah.
So there's two sides to that in terms of how deep I feel about it and what is the thought I'm choosing to think. Or I can think, you know what? And we're running out of time here, but I'm gonna set us up for next week, next time. There's a powerful prayer to say that can help you allow, like Penny said, and accept the situation.
Wait,
let
is
it
Pat
go.
Here? Pat has been here this whole time. Oh my God, Pat! Oh my God, Pat! I didn't know. I'm so sorry.
Right. Hi. Sorry I'm so late, but I got stuck at work.
That's okay. How long have you
been enjoying the conversation? I've enjoyed the conversation.
Dave, I'm so glad you prepared a prayer, and I want to hear that too, but Pat, I love you. Forgive me. We bragged about you half the show because we love you so much.
Thank you.
Well, you know,
listen to the first part. Okay, Dave,
yeah,
what do we do?
Go ahead. What? No, the prayers for next time. What? No,
next
time.
You're not going to tell us now?
No, there's no time. We welcomed you to the show.
How long is this prayer?
It's very short.
That's good.
Well,
very short.
Five more minutes.
What?
You have 5 more minutes.
All right. It's convinced me. There's just more than the prayer, and how do you amp up the prayer too? The prayer is very simple.
That's what you can talk about next time. Tell us the prayer now, and then we can tune in next time for how to amp the prayer.
So it's a thought form that came into our aura. Now, no one can put a thought form in your aura. You got to understand that first. Only you can accept thoughts. No one else can do it for you, just like no one else can breathe for you. Those are two very important points, okay? No one can give you thoughts. You have to buy into it to accept it. It doesn't get in. I can't just take a thought form and put it in Penny's aura. She has to agree with it or reject it. And
right.
Even if she rejects it, guess what? That's a new thought form too. It gets complicated. Nevertheless, you put the thought form in there. If the thought form is that, I'm not worthy of prosperity, then, and I don't want that anymore, the prayer is very simple. I am sorry. Please forgive me for creating the thought form of lack and limitation and poverty. I don't know why I created this, but I know I'm done with it. Thank you. Thank you, universe, for the lesson of poverty. I now release you. You can go and transform into some other energy. I love you, and I let you go.
Oh,
and now
God.
You're free to create something new.
I
see,
love
the
it.
Love aspect comes in, and that's where the freedom comes in for the thought form to go and transform itself into something else. You're saying, I don't need you here anymore. Whatever the lesson is, I got it. Because I'm ready to create prosperity in my life. I let you go. You're free. And the truest sense of love is freedom. So
I
you have to do that with your creations. That's why I say it's a creation, because we allowed it into our aura. But that's the prayer.
I love it, Dave. What a great thing to end this year with. People can take that and use it. I'm going to write that down. And actually put that to use. I love it. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And guess what? It works even better when you put it to the breath in a particular triangular pattern that will be unveiled in 2015.
All right. Me neither. That's fantastic. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas
happy
to
holidays.
You both and Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas, everyone. May the joy.
Thanks, everyone,
and
for listening all year. Pat,
yeah,
thank
it's
you
been
for
our first
being
year.
Here.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to everyone. Happy holidays and just a wonderful New Year wished for all of you.
And, you know, we have like a minute left or, I don't know, yeah, minute 51 seconds. I really want to encourage people when we roll out the 40-day program, tune in to when that's coming. We don't have a date set, but it's going to be early in the year. But every single day we're going to do something to promote prosperity and abundance in your life. And I can tell you without fail, whoever has done this program, there has always been some positive effect in their life within the 40-day period.
That is true.
Unequivocally, without exception. Come,
absolutely.
Join us.
Absolutely, I totally agree. And also, let me say to everyone, here's the secret. That it literally, from the time of inception, that's that sacred moment that mommy and daddy got together and just made love to each other. From that moment, 40 days later is your first heartbeat. 40 days.
Whoa.
So the 40-day program is essential because it is really going right back to creation. You can create anything with that 40-day program. We hope that you'll be a part of that in 2015. Thanks for listening to Truth with Prosperity. Pat and Dave Krichovic and Penny Golden, we wish you the best.
Merry Christmas.
Namaste. Merry Christmas.
Namaste.